From Seoul, Korea, KBS World Radio News Today starts right now.
On today's broadcast, armed clashes continue over control of the Strait of Hormuz as South Korea launches an emergency review of crude oil supply conditions. President Lee Jae-myung says the government would allocate the expected unprecedented tax revenue from the chip boom to strategic investment funds for the future. And scorching weather continues with heat advisories issued in most parts of the country, but the conditions are forecast to ease after heavy rain on Tuesday. This is KBS World Radio News. I'm Daniel Choi. The United States launched several more strikes on Iran over the weekend with reports of powerful explosions in various locations in the south of the country. The Strait of Hormuz remains a major sticking point in negotiations between Washington and Tehran, jeopardizing their agreement to permanently end the war. Rosenbach has more.
Following Saturday's strike in retaliation for an Iranian attack on a container ship in the Strait of Hormuz, the United States launched a fresh round of airstrikes on Sunday. The U.S. Central Command said it had launched more attacks against Iran to continue degrading its ability to attack civilian mariners and commercial vessels freely transiting the critical waterway. Iranian state-run media reported Sunday that powerful explosions had occurred in southern coastal areas near the strait, such as the port city of Bandar Abbas and Keshem Island. In response to the attacks, Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps fired on Gulf neighbors hosting U.S. military bases, including Bahrain, Jordan, Kuwait, Qatar, and Oman. Iran announced the closure of the strait on Saturday after firing a warning shot that struck a Cyprus-flagged container ship. It claimed on Sunday to have disabled another vessel. Earlier, U.S. President Donald Trump told CNN in a telephone interview that the heavy strikes against Iran were a response to its recent attack on an oil tanker and said that the strait was open. As tensions rise in the strait and uncertainty grows over their peace deal, many countries, such as South Korea, are keeping a close watch on the situation, which directly impacts global oil and natural gas supplies. South Korea relies on the Middle East for roughly 70% of its crude oil imports. Seoul said it has secured enough supplies to last until August, but what happens after that remains unclear. Rosine Park, KBS World Radio News.
The government has launched an emergency review of crude oil supply conditions as tensions in the Middle East escalate following Iran's reclosure of the Strait of Hormuz and renewed U.S. strikes on Iran. The Ministry of Trade, Industry and Resources said on Monday that it held a meeting to assess crude oil supplies and tanker traffic in the region, discussing possible response measures. The ministry said domestic refiners have secured crude oil imports for July and August and more than double last year's levels, adding that the current situation is unlikely to significantly affect short-term supply. However, the government said it would maintain close communication with the industry, monitor developments in the Middle East and supply conditions, and explore alternative supply sources if tensions persist. International oil prices have resumed an upward trend, with Dubai crude, a major import grade for South Korean refiners, rising above $70 a barrel amid growing geopolitical uncertainty. The benchmark Korea Composite Stock Price Index plunged nearly 9% on Monday, falling below 7,000 points for the first time in more than 2 months. The Kospi dipped 669.01 points, or 8.95%, to close at 6,806.93. Market insiders blame the drop on escalating tensions between the U.S. and Iran over the Strait of Hormuz and the subsequent surge in global oil prices. The sharp decline was led by semiconductor giants Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix. The tech-heavy Kosdaq lost 38.07 points, or 4.55%, to close at 799.36. President Lee Jae-myung said that the government would allocate the unprecedented surge in tax revenue expected from the semiconductor boom to strategic investment funds for the future. During a fiscal strategy meeting at Cheongwadae on Monday, he outlined three priorities for next year's budget, stating that it should support the construction of an irreplaceable Korea that the world cannot do without. His first proposal, the Future Response Fund, will invest in support for young adults regional development, education, and future industries. Secondly, he said the government would turn 3 megaprojects into new growth opportunities by ensuring that investments in semiconductors, physical AI, and AI data centers proceed according to companies' timelines. Thirdly, he said he aimed to build a nation in which no one is left behind through growth for all and pledged that the government would do its utmost to ensure that all citizens benefit from advances in AI. Former President Yoon Suk-yeol was sentenced on Monday to 2 years in prison after a Seoul court found him guilty of illegally obtaining poll results. The Seoul Central District Court handed Yoon a 2-year prison term and forfeiture of nearly 14 million won, or roughly $9,000, for violating the Political Funds Act by acquiring the results of 14 polls between April 2021 and March 2022. Political operative Myung Tae-kyun was convicted of the same charges and sentenced to 1.5 years in prison. Myung was deemed a flight risk and immediately taken into custody. Prosecutors initially said the former president had colluded with former First Lady Kim Gun-hee to obtain the results of 58 polls from Myung, valued at 270 million won, or approximately $180,000. Special Counsel Min Jung-gi had sought 4 years in prison and a 137.2 million won forfeiture for Yoon and a 3-year sentence for Myung. A sweltering heat wave is continuing across the nation, with heat advisories issued in most parts of the country, but the scorching conditions will ease after heavy rain on Tuesday. According to the Korea Meteorological Administration, rain clouds left behind by Typhoon Bavi, which made landfall in China late on Saturday, will begin moving toward the Korean Peninsula on Tuesday. Rain will begin in the greater Seoul area Tuesday morning, spread to most regions in the afternoon, and continue through Wednesday. Heavy downpours will occur between Tuesday night and early Wednesday, with some areas in the Seoul metropolitan area, western parts of Gangwon Province, and north Chungcheong Province receiving up to 30 millimeters of rain per hour. Rainfall through Wednesday is forecast to exceed 100 millimeters in northern Gyeonggi and northern Gangwon, while Seoul and other central regions are expected to receive 30 to 80 millimeters. The body of a South Korean Navy crew member who went missing near the de facto inter-Korean maritime border on Sunday has been found. The Navy said in a news release Monday that the crew member's body had been found without a life jacket at around 5:58 a.m. and recovered around 6:43 a.m. from waters 52 kilometers east of Gojin, Gangwon Province. The Navy and the Coast Guard had deployed around 10 vessels and several aircraft during the search operation. The sailor was last seen between 12 a.m. and 2 a.m. Sunday during a patrol mission aboard a frigate. He was declared missing at 8 a.m. when he failed to report for duty. A cybersecurity firm has detected a phishing attack targeting experts on North Korea. Cybersecurity firm Jinian said Monday that an attacker linked to APT-37, a North Korea-backed hacking group, had been distributing a variant of the remote access Trojan Rockrat. According to the firm, the attackers sent emails on June 22nd to researchers, policy professionals, and academics, claiming to provide materials related to an academic conference that took place in southern Seoul on June 12. The email contained a Dropbox link that appeared to lead to a PDF conference booklet, but instead downloaded an ISO file containing malware. And that's the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul. This has been Daniel Chen.